Welcome to Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Sarah Malka Reichman, and today we'll be learning Rus, Perek Gimel, together. In the first Perek, we got to learn of the beautiful relationship between Rus and Naomi. In the second Perek, we were introduced to Boaz, and we saw the roots of the relationship between Boaz and Rus. In the third Perek, we're going to see the convergence of these two relationships, where Rus, the loyal daughter-in-law, follows Naomi's instructions with regards to a new relationship with Boaz. Naomi lets Rus know that she's concerned with finding her a husband. Biti haloa bakeshlach manoach asher yitavlach. And she lets her know who she has in mind. Boaz modatanu, Boaz our relative. And she devises a plan, which she tells Rus about, for exactly how they're going to orchestrate this shidduch. She tells Rus that tonight, Boaz will be found at the threshing floor winnowing the grain. She tells Rus that she should bathe, anoint herself, and put on a simla. The Gemara tells us referring to special Shabbos clothing. She should go to the threshing floor. And Naomi warns Rus. She says, don't let him know that you're there until he finishes eating and drinking. And by the time he lies down, you should have already figured out the place where he generally lies down. You should uncover his feet, and you should lie down near him. And then he'll let you know what to do. She's told, V'hi v'shachvo v'yadat es ha'makom asher yishkav sham uvas v'glis margolosav v'shachavt v'hu yagid lach es asher ta'asun. Now, there are lots of different ways of finding spouses out there in different circles, different practices, but this is one that you don't hear about very often. And yet, Rus immediately announces her intentions to comply. Kol asher tomri elai e'aseh. Rus is willing to go along with the plan. And she follows her mother-in-law's instructions to a T, with the exception of the order. The Medrash points out that while Naomi told Rus to bathe, anoint herself, and put on her fine clothing, and then go down to the threshing floor, Rus reversed it, and she went to the threshing floor and then started beautifying herself so that she shouldn't be out and about wandering around all dressed up in her finery and all made up. And so she goes to the Goren, and she does everything that her mother had commanded, her mother-in-law had commanded. And Boaz does, in fact, eat and drink. He's happy, and he comes to lie down. Rus comes quietly. She uncovers his feet, and she lies down. What is going on here? Why does Naomi want Rus to proposition Boaz? Why does she want Rus to marry Boaz, who's considerably older than she is? And why in the world has she chosen this method to set the shidduch up? What Rus and Naomi are doing here, and what Boaz eventually takes part in, is the fulfillment of Yibam. Parenthetically, we're talking about the idea of Yibam rather than the exact halachic parameters of Yibam, which may be limited to more narrow group of relatives. Yibam is called by the Ramban in Bereishis Sod Gadol, from the great secrets of the Torah. The Malbim in Rus explains it, and he says he's going to follow the interpretation of the Mekubalim. Yibam is when a husband and a wife marry and they have no children together, and then the husband passes away without having had children. It is a mitzvah for his brother, the deceased's brother, to marry the wife, or in this case, a further relative, to marry the wife. The Malbim, in accordance with the interpretation of the Mekubalim, says that on this earth, a neshama, a soul, needs a body to exist. And because the deceased has no progeny, he did not have children, he has no way of continuity on earth, he has no way of existing in the physical world without a body, this is the reason that the brother marries in order to have children and to provide continuity for the deceased. The Malbim says that this is the reason that the process of chalitza, freeing the relative from marrying the widow, revolves around a shoe. Just as a soft, refined foot cannot really walk on a cement, gravelly road without a shoe, it needs the shoe in order to kind of exist on the road, so too the soul needs a body in order to continue to exist in this world. And he says that the soul of the deceased really has no margoa, no calm or tranquility, and still kind of hovers in the midst of his wife on this earth. But then when the brother of the deceased marries the widow, ki'ilu nefesh hamet ba shenit la'olam, it's as if the soul of the deceased is able to come to this world again. And this is what, according to the Malbim, Rus is hinting to Boaz when she uncovers his feet. She's hinting to this whole idea of the shoe and the feet representing the body and the soul. And this is how she suggests to him that it may be his role to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibam, of course, because her husband Machlon died without them having children together. So how does Boaz react to Rus's gesture? So just to illustrate what's going on here, Boaz is a serious Talmud Chacham. Let's picture him with a long white beard. Chazal tell us that he was the Shofet Ivtan. Rus, we're told, is from the more beautiful women in the world and half his age, and she lies down next to him. Does he say, "Who are you? Do you know who I am? Get out of here right now." Actually, the Medrash says, "Bedin Hayashi Akalena." It would have been quite appropriate for him to curse her. How does he react? So it says, "Vayhi bechatzi halayla, vayecherad ha'ish, vayilafes v'nei isha shocheves marglosav." It was in the middle of the night. He's gripped with fear. He turns, and there's a woman lying at his feet. And how is he going to react? Both the ancestors of Rus and Boaz have been involved in such an encounter previously, and this is actually the third such encounter. And what all of them have in common is lahakim zera, to perpetuate the progeny of one of the people involved. We have the daughters of Lot coming to him in order to initiate relations in a situation, not just to perpetuate his progeny, but in a situation where they thought all of humanity has been destroyed, and they're going to engage in perpetuating the line of Lot. And that is too done in a situation of darkness. If darkness is a metaphor for a lack of knowledge, for confusion, Lot is drunk at the time of that encounter. Fast forward a little bit, and of course we have Tamar and Yehuda, where it is also done under the cover of darkness. In this case, the darkness is a disguise. And Tamar is wearing a disguise when she propositions Yehuda, and this is also, of course, in order to perpetuate the progeny of her deceased husband and to fulfill the Yibam. Rav Yaakov Moshe Pupko points out that in all three of these situations, shrouded by darkness, the darkness of drunkenness, the darkness of disguise, and here it says, "Vayhi b'chatzi halayla," the metaphor for darkness, in this case, darkness of a complete lack of clarity of what the right halacha is, what the right thing to do is. At this moment of darkness, Boaz has a choice. He actually has two choices. He can follow in the footsteps of his predecessors, and he can lose control, as did Lot and Yehuda. Or he can impose strict propriety and completely reject Rus and her gestures. But he chooses a third option. He refuses to proceed, as did Lot and then Yehuda. But he acknowledges Rut's lofty intentions, and he blesses her. Brucha at Lashem biti, hetavt chastecha acharon min harishon. This kindness that you are doing, he says to Rus, is greater than the first kindness that you did for your husband. Levilti lecha sachari habachurim imdav imashir, that you're not choosing somebody who is younger to marry, but rather that you're choosing to fulfill Yibam and perpetuate the memory and the life of your husband. He assures her that baboker, with the clarity of morning, he will investigate and see what the halacha is. Is there a redeemer? Is there a closer relative who she is meant to marry?
Bata ki umnam kim goel anochi v'gam yesh goel karov mimeni limi halayla v'ayaba boker imigalech tov yigal v'imlo yachpotz galech ugal tich anochi chai Hashem shechvi ad haboker. He tells her that he will investigate it. He will find out what the right thing to do when they have the light, the clarity of morning. The Medrash points to this incredible presence of mind that Boaz was able to maintain in this petrifying situation. Medrash tells us that there are two people in the Torah about whom it says, Vayecharad. They were gripped with fear. One, Yitzchak Avinu, when he found out that he had given the bracha to the wrong person. And two, Boaz, when he discovered Rus lying next to him. The Medrash tells us, Cherdas Adam Yitei Mokesh Vavoteach Bashem Yisugav. The fear of a person can serve as a real stumbling block in his way, in the way of proper behavior, but he who relies on Hashem will be protected. The Medrash says, Bezin haya lekalala, that according to what was appropriate, Boaz could have cursed her, maybe should have cursed her. Ela b'teich b'shem yisugav, nasan b'libo ubarcha. He thought, he had the presence of mind, he thought about it, and he blessed her, Vayomer, Brucha at Lashem Biti. What enabled Boaz to maintain such presence of mind in order to have clarity and make a proper decision in a potentially petrifying situation? So we know that the deepest part of a person's identity comes through in the Torah that he teaches us, and we already learned the Torah that Boaz teaches us. The Gemara tells us that Boaz instituted the practice of greeting people with the name of Hashem. He saw his farmhands, and he said, Hashem imachem, Hashem is with you, and they had already been trained to respond to him, Yivarechecha Hashem, to greet him in turn with Hashem's name. When Boaz saw Ruth that night, he could have thought many things could have run through his head, but he saw straight through to her lofty intentions. What Boaz's halacha of greeting people with the name of Hashem teaches us about him is that he saw the godliness, not just in saintly people, not just in a Chafetz Chaim, but even in his lowly farmhands. He was able to see the divine, the Tzelem Elokim, in each person. And so, instead of jumping to all the wrong conclusions, b'din hayashe kalalena, he looks at Rus and he sees her lofty intentions, enabling him to maintain his presence of mind. This is what we learn from the teachings of Rav Yaakov Moshe Pupko. Beyond Boaz's character and what he brings to these circumstances, there's another dimension that impacts the events on that fateful night, and that is who Rus is and how her character impacts the choices made. We learned previously that the Medrash sees Rus's character in her name, Sherata B'Divrei Chamota. She saw straight to the essence of who Naomi was. At the point that Rus knew Naomi, she was no longer a distinguished, wealthy person, and she herself describes herself as Mara, bitter. We're not talking about a carefree, happy, or charismatic person. Yet, Rus was able to see past the externals into the essence of the great woman that Naomi was, enabling herself to connect to Naomi on the deepest level. The other expression of connecting to the core, connecting on a deep level to others, is what we hear about Rus's mannerism in the field. She is so modest, choosing not to be noticed by her externals, in spite of the fact that she was so beautiful. She chooses to project only her truest self to others, enabling Boaz to understand who she really is in her core essence. Boaz sees the divine, the Tzelem Elokim in all, and Rus is modest, projecting only her truest self to others, and connects to people at the deepest level, enabling them to see who she really is, creating the most conducive circumstances for Boaz to overcome his charada, his fear, and not allow it to be a stumbling block in the way of clarity and making the right decision on that fateful night. Boaz's response to Rus's proposition seems to be crafted with the intent of letting Rus know that he understands the purity of her intentions, and every single word is spoken with enormous sensitivity. First, he communicates to her that he knows the nobility of her decision, that she had other options. Heitavt chastecha acharon min harishon levilti leches acharei habachurim imdal ve'imashir. I know that you could have chosen to marry somebody younger. Whether he would have been wealthy or poor, it probably would have been preferable to most women to marry somebody younger. Then he lets her know that everyone else also understands her greatness and her valor. Often a person makes the right decisions but wonders how their decisions are viewed by others. So he gives her confirmation and he says, Al tiri kol asher tomri eselach, I will do everything that you are propositioning. Ki odea kol sha'ar ami ki ishes chayelat. Don't worry, everyone knows that you are truly a woman of valor. And now with great sensitivity, he lets her know that although if that is the appropriate thing to do, he definitely intends on marrying her and being the Goel, the Redeemer, he does tell her that there is somebody who is closer in this line of Yibum's succession, and that is Elimelech's brother. Ki umnam im Goel anoch, it's true that I am a potential Redeemer. Gam yesh Goel karov mimeni, there is somebody closer than me. He instructs her to stay there for the night, lini halayla, vaya baboker, and it will be with the clarity of morning. Imigalech tov yigal, if the other person redeems you, good, he will redeem you. Bringing Chazal to tell us that actually the name of this person who we will refer to as Ploni Almoni is Tov. Imigalech tov, if this person called Tov redeems you, yigal, then he will redeem you. But if he doesn't choose to do so, v'im lo yechpots legalech, I will redeem you. I will marry you. Ugal ticha nochi chai Hashem. Shechviyad haboker instructs her to stay for the night until the morning. Again, he has already said lini halayla, and repeating it ad haboker seems again to imply that we're going to wait till we have that clarity that morning brings. She stays until the morning, and it seems that they both have the same thing in mind because it says about her, Vatakam b'terem yakir ish esreyehu. She makes sure to get up while it is still dark enough outside that people can't recognize who's walking around outside. And then it says about him, Vayomer, he thinks to himself, Al yivada kiva ha'isha ha'goren. He wants to get up early so that she will leave and nobody sees, preventing a potentially embarrassing situation. Then he once again makes sure to provide for her. And Ami, he says, bring me the scarf in which he will wrap a small amount of barley. Havi hametzpacha sasher alaych vechazivach vatochezba. They both hold on to it, and he measures 6 barleys, vayamad sheish saorim, which makes one wonder if perhaps it was 6 measures of saorim. But Rashi says it could not have been 6 seah, because that would be too much for a person, for a woman to carry, and that it was actually 6 barleys. Again, Chazal here see every single interaction as foreshadowing for the eventual monarchy in Am Yisrael that will lead to Mashiach. Rashi says 6 barleys, he's giving her something, trying to allude to the fact that there's going to be a person who comes out of this union between them, who is going to be the fulfillment of the prophecy that he will be imbued with 6 traits. As the Navi Shehu says, Ruach Chachma Ubina Eitza Ugvura Ruach Das V'Yiras Hashem, alluding to these 6 traits that are the characterization of the eventual Mashiach. Practically speaking, she's bringing this barley back. She brings it back to Naomi and she tells her everything that has transpired, at which point Naomi tells her, Shvibiti Adasher Tidin Echipol Davar, you just stay here until we see what results from all of this. And she also assures her that Boaz is going to take care of it with great speed. Ki lo yishkot ha'ish, ki im kila ha'davar hayom. Knowing Boaz, Naomi says, this person is not going to rest until he sees what to do and he takes care of matters on this very day, Hayom. Thank you for learning together. Li'iloi Nishmas, Rose Foreman, Razel Rachel, Bas Arya Leib,
and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bas Shlomo.